the torch has been passed, we're going from the young to the old. And man, I'll tell you, this group of young people, man, they're awesome. I just can't praise God enough for, you know, allowing this church family here to be what these young people has chose to take part in. They are a total asset to our congregation. I'd like to greet everyone here this morning, and any of you that are visitors, I'd like to first let you know that I'm not the pastor. I'm up here and I'm scared to death. But this is the fifth Sunday of the month, and every month that has five Sundays in, one of the deacons is always asked to, if they want to bring the message, and if they don't, the associate pastor, Mike Walters, he usually brings the message. But, you know, I was asked to do so today, so before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you this morning just praising you and thanking you for everything that you do for us, Father. Father, we thank you for the rains that we had yesterday and last night, Father. It just replenished our crops so much. They was thirsty and they needed a drink. And we just praise you and we thank you for this. And now, Father, I just ask that you be with me as I bring this message here this morning, Lord. I just ask that the words that come out of my mouth, they're the words that you want me to say, Father. These things I ask and I pray for in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing I'd like to ask is, how many, you know, use these little journals that Pastor Darren allowed us to pick up here last Sunday at the foot of the pulpit? Man, that's great. You know, Audrey and I had an opportunity. At first, I didn't think it would be something easy. But, you know, it started right off on Monday morning. We had the opportunity to start and get out of our comfort zone and be without outsiders and talk to them about the Lord and asking, you know, if there was any way that we could help them in any matter at all. So if you don't have one of these and you need something to call it my little out-of-the-box journal. If you don't have anything to scratch down on, see Pastor Darren, and he'll see that you get one of them. Okay, the next thing, you know, I hope my story is better than the one that Pastor Darren used last week that I had shared with him. You know, the punchline was kind of hard to get. You know, we just didn't realize that the rooster entered the ministry through the pastor's stomach, you know. So, you know, so we'll go on with this little story. It's about a grandmother that she is preparing pancakes for her two grandsons this one morning. Well, I kind of changed the names around in this story, and I used Luke and Ryan. And these were boys that were around 5, 6 years old, and you know, I can picture my two grandsons you know, being like this at that age. And they begin to argue about who's going to get the first pancake. So Grandma, she was listening to it, you know, and she kind of seen the opportunity to get a good moral lesson in. So she turned around, she looked at the boys, and she said, "Hey," she said, "you know," she said, "if Jesus was here at our table this morning," she said, "I think that he would say, give my brother the first pancake." Well, Ryan, he turned around to Luke real quick and he said, "Luke, you be Jesus." So, you know, anybody that knows them, that's how they were back then. Well, at the beginning of the month, or maybe a week before, Pastor Darren and his family, they were getting ready to go on a long-needed vacation. Well, he and Mike, they approached me about wanting to know if I would like to do the sermon for the fifth Sunday. Well, you know, it scared me to death. I didn't know what to say. I wanted to say, "No, I can't do it." But God wouldn't let me say it. All he would let me say was, "I'll pray about it." So, you know, it went on for a week or so, and Brother Mike, he approached me and he said, "Hey," he said, "have you had any confirmation yet?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "We're going to do it." But then the hard part came. I was wrestling with God on what to do it on. He had different ideas than I did. And it took a while for me to let go and let God. So, you know, for the past several months, our Sunday school class, we've been doing a study in the book Purpose Driven Life, written by Pastor Rick Warren. And I know a lot of us here this morning, we've been in classes, a class where this study was used. And if we haven't read the book or been in had the opportunity to be in a class yet or a study, I'd recommend anybody to get a copy of this book and read it. And when you go through it, compare the unbible versions of the verses that Pastor Warren uses. Compare them with the King James or the New King James version of the Bible. And this way, you know, you understand what God's trying to tell us in His words. So as I wrestled with this, and God kept taking me back to a few Sundays ago when we had a lesson on broken fellowships and how to restore them. And this is a real valuable lesson, not only in our everyday lives, but also in our church family relationships. And at this time, I'd like to share, you know, what this lesson brought out to each and every one of us. Our focus on life should be love and valuing late relationships and doing everything possible to keep them instead of bailing out when conflicts pop up. God has given us a ministry for restoring these relationships. I'd like to read some verses now from 2 Corinthians 5:18. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn there. And before I read this, just a little history lesson as to what Paul's writing here. This is his second letter to the church of Corinth. And this letter came about after Titus returned to Paul because his first letter that he had written to the church at Corinth, his feelings and his writings there were being destroyed by false teachers and leaders. And they were trying to turn the people against Paul and say that he was not a fit apostle for Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul wrote. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here, Paul explains that all things come from God, and God reconciled us to himself. He brought us to him through Jesus Christ. And in this verse, he not only restored our lives from our sins and everything, but he gave us a bonus. He gave us a ministry of restoring relationships to our loved ones and to our church family. And that's what a lot of the Old Testament is written about, teaching us how to get along with others. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, Paul wrote there that, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any affection of mercy, of my mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. That means we should value others more than we do ourselves. Let each of you look out not only for our own interests, but the interest of others. Here he says, if we've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in our life, if being in a church relationship, if the Spirit means anything to us, if we have a heart, if we care, then he wants us to do him a favor. He wants us to agree with each other, love each other, and be deep-spirited friends. He don't want us to push our way to the front. We shouldn't sweet-talk our way to the top. We should put ourselves aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own way. We should lend a helping hand. God wants us to be seen and recognized by our love for each other. And when we fall into a broken relationship or a conflict with each other, it's not a good testimony to others. And if we want the blessings that God has laid out for us, and we want to be known as His children, then we may need to be peaceable with each other. Peacemaking is a hard and unending work, mainly because Satan wants us always to be in conflict. This is why peacemakers are rare, but it's one of the most important skills we can develop, and most of us never get taught how to handle these situations. We need to pray for one another's direction and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us through difficult times. God wants us to stay in unity with all. Peacemaking is not always giving in, acting like a doormat, or letting others run all over us. This is not what God had in mind. In this study on broken relationships and conflicts, we were given 7 biblical ways to help us in restoring conflicts. And I'd like to share those this morning. The first one is talk to God before talking to the person. We need to go to God with all problems. If we pray about things instead of talking to a friend or trying to take things in our own hands, we sometimes find out that God either changes our heart or the other person without our help. We need to tell God exactly how we feel. If we hurt, or if we're angry, or we have insecurities, God wants to know. He wants to know every emotional concern that we might have. And the only way we can do this is go to Him and talk to Him. James 4, verses 1 and 2, it reads that, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Here, God wants all disagreements between us taken directly to Him first. The way some of our problems get deep-rooted, God is the only one that can meet their needs, and only God can meet all of our needs. And our worldly attitude causes us conflicts and fightings that are harmful to our growth in faith. The worldly system is controlled by the evil one, Satan, and he is in charge of making us fight amongst ourselves. Number 2, always take the initiative. This means that we should always take the first step in resolving and restoring the problem and not letting it fester. It doesn't make any difference if we were the offended or the offender. God wants and expects us to act first and not wait on the other person to come to us. Restoring broken relationships was so important to Jesus that He says that it should take priority over worship. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, He tells us that if we are in a place of worship and ready to give an offering, and we remember of a conflict with a friend or a brother, that we're to stop right there. Leave the gift and go to that brother, that sister, and get things resolved with them first. And then we come back and we work things out with God. Delay only makes the problem worse, and time, it doesn't heal anything. Also, acting quickly suppresses spiritual damage in us. We must be reminded that an unresolved, unrestored conflict or relationship doesn't allow us to be close to God. And our prayers are not lifted up to Him that we can receive the blessings that He has for us. Number three was sympathize with their feeling. The first thing that we need to learn here is to shut our mouth and open our ears. We need to take and listen to others' feelings, not ours. We shouldn't think about ourselves at these times. We need to be interested in what others are saying. We begin with sympathy, not solutions. In Philippians 2:4, Paul said for us to look out for each other, not just ourselves. Now, these first three steps, they're fairly simple, and we can do them pretty easy. But now they really start to get difficult to deal with. Number four was confess our part of the problem. If we want to get serious and get to the bottom of, you know, this conflict or problem, the first thing we need to do is admit our part in what has taken place. What did we do to cause the problem? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, He said that we first need to get the log out of our eye so that we can see this the speck in our friends. So we need to go to God and ask Him to show us how much of this situation is our fault. Sometimes the way we try to handle a conflict, we just increase the problem and things get worse. This is why by going to God and humbling ourselves to Him, He will show us our part in the situation. We need to be realistic about this. We could have been the cause of the problem all along. Confession is a powerful tool in restoring. Number five, attack the person. No, it's not. It's attack the problem and not the person. That's the way I handle it a lot of times is, you know, I got to attack the person. Audrey, she can vouch that this is a big one for me. Many times, not only in family situations or friend or business dealings, and even in church, the big guy got hurt. And I think that this is one of the sinful traits that has been handed down since Adam that we must go through. And usually the next thing that takes place after this hurt sets in, I open my mouth and I stick both feet in it. And believe me, Brother Rick, I can get them boots in there too. And you know, many, many times, if this has happened at church, the first thing I want to do is leave. And then, you know, usually through Audrey's coaching me and counseling me, she tells me, she said that, you know, you don't want to do that. These same issues and types of problems. She said they exist wherever you go. She said, Coshocton Baptist Church is not the only church that has these kind of problems. Proverbs 15:1 reads, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir anger. So we all need to learn it's not always what we say, but how we say it. We can never get anything resolved by using harsh cross words. We need to choose our words and speak wisely, not sarcastically. Our nagging never works. Number 6, cooperate as much as possible. Peacemaking is not running away or avoiding or pretending it doesn't exist. Trying to resolve or make peace always has a price tag. To some of us, it's a big, big price. It might mean our pride or self-centeredness. We need to show preference to others, others' needs at this time. A paraphrased version of Jesus' seven Beatitudes says, you're blessed when you can show someone how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when we'll discover really who we are and where we are in God's family. 7. Emphasize in reconciliation, not resolution. We need to give special attention to this and realize that it's not being unrealistic to expect us all to agree on everything. We can walk side by side and not see eye to eye. We as brothers and sisters in God's family are expected to uphold and protect the unity of God's family. Colossians 3:14 in the New Living Translation, it said that the most important piece of clothing we need to wear is love. Love is what binds us together in perfect harmony. This should be a guide for the whole church so it will function and stay together. I know this is just, you know, a pretty short message and everything, but in closing, I'd just like to say that, you know, while I was preparing this message here, God led me in many different places, and He allowed me to say things that I normally wouldn't be saying. If you just look around the sanctuary, you know, especially us older members, do you see my family here? Do you see your family? We've seen many changes over time, but they haven't worked. And as for some of my children and my grandchildren that you don't see here, they don't attend church anywhere. At this time, this church is blessed. We have several new, young families and new families that are coming in. We have an outstanding group of young people. And we have a young pastor that's taken a hold of this congregation and trying to get us turned around and headed in the direction that God wants us to go. If we continue as we've always continued, will these people stay here and be a part of this family. You know, we're subject to have changes. And as long as these changes come about and are, you know, exactly in line with what our beliefs are, you know, in line with what the Baptist faith message says, you know, we can work through it. When we look through the Bible, we see almost on every page where God keeps His promises. It's time for us to keep our promise. Before we pray and open God's altar up to anyone who wants to come and get close to God, I got one more thing I feel as though I need to say. The instructions we follow depends on the future we create. And, you know, if God wants us to keep these young people, either in this congregation or a congregation someplace else, and not be out in the world, then, you know, we need to take and do what He wants us to do. Shall we pray? Father God, I thank You for this opportunity that You have given me. I thank You for choosing me. And I ask, Father, that You give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to understand and go forth and love and obey You in all things. We ask, Father, that You be in control of all our words and that we use on others. And at this time, Father, we just give You the praise and glory for all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We'll now have the altar open for anybody that needs to come forward and pray. And if you need somebody to pray with, I know Pastor Darren, he'll be more than welcome. And any of the deacons that you'd like to have come up, just, you know, bring them with you and just bring it to God. And when you bring it up here, leave it here.
We bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come thanking You and praising You for always is for who You are and for what You do. I praise You for the message that You spoke to Brother Chuck this morning. I praise You for the new pastor that You've blessed us with. I pray that You would continue to enable Pastor Darren to be obedient and faithful and trusting to You. And then I pray that same prayer for each and every body that comes through these doors, members or not, Lord, that we would truly put You first and we would get out of Your way. We would quit being in the flesh and we would just get in Your Word. We would get on our knees. We would pray. We would truly seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. We would make application of the words that You had written in the pages we call the Holy Bible. It was written by human hands, but inspired by You, by Your Spirit. Let us not make a mockery of your divine plan and your will. Lord, you are everything that is good, and I praise you for that. Help us to, as we read your word, let us do what it says in the book of James, chapter 5, 16, and not just be hearers of your word, but be doers. There's no sense reading your word if we're not going to apply it to our lives. It's not easy, but it is so much comforting as we do it, just simply because it you bless me with the wonderfulness and the warmth, knowing that sinful me, by your love and grace and mercy and the shed blood of your Son, I can be pleasing to you, and that's all I want to do, Lord. I trip and fall and stumble daily, you know that. And I praise you all the more as you constantly pick me up and brush me off. May you help each and every one of us to, first and foremost, reconcile ourselves to you, and then to each other, just to give you praise, honor, and glory. And as we go from here, Lord, I pray that you would watch over and protect us. You would keep us safe. And Lord, I just praise you for all the new faces that have come through the doors, the new families, the friendships that you're developing. And I certainly praise you for the faces we haven't seen for some time as they've come back. Lord, your love is untouchable, is unstoppable, and I praise you for that. In all things we pray that your will be done, and it's through Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.